Just in the general sense of the room, has anyone been able to see any shows?
You're not starting with us, are you? There's a nod just here. Yeah, a nod here. You're starting with us. Look, I'm not saying that's a bad choice. I'm just saying there's a lot of shows out there. It's been 3 weeks. There's like 700 shows. I'm happy to start on.
I'm not worried about the starting with us. I'm worried about the starting at J before.
At J before the end, yeah. What have you got? What did you say? Anything good?
You and Nolan.
Oh, Jamal, yeah, Jamal's always a solid choice. Which guy? Oh, Parker.
Yeah.
Parker is in the Tux Cat here with us. How was Parker? I haven't seen Parker.
Very German.
Very German. Yeah. So he killed his audience? I don't
know. He shat on them.
Oh, right, yeah, they have a new stereotype now, don't they?
There actually was, he did make jokes.
Oh, good, there you go. Not far off. Oh, excellent. No, that sounds good. He's on right after me, I know that. So I'm always hungry. Like, that's my priority after I finish my show. I'm just like, I gotta have dinner. Sorry, Parker. So hopefully I'll catch him before the festival ends, but it's solid. Nice to see that you know your way around this venue. Anyone out the back? Seen anything? No, that's cool. That's fine.
Old choice with us.
What?
No, I like it, no, it's good.
Jeez. There's no faith in us. No faith in us
at all. Hey, I've only seen one show at this festival too. Also us.
Yeah, solid. No, it's good. I think I'm about 40 deep at this point. And I try to get in a couple every night. I'm going to do a festival wrap-up of everything that I've seen after this, because this is a regular podcast that takes a slightly different shape. But that'll be fun. There's been a lot of fantastic shows, including the two guests that we have on tonight. I caught one of them out in Perth, and I assume his show's only gotten stronger since then, because that's the nature of festivals. After every festival, you sit down and you go, all right, what have I done? Listen back to your recordings a couple of times, and you're like, I'm going to change this. I'm going to put this in here. Otherwise, it was already strong, so it doesn't need to change. And I was caught the first guest a couple of nights ago. Fuck, it's a high-energy show. It's a lot of fun. So if you get a chance, he's on two more nights, and you'll really enjoy him. And if he is, are we ready? Sweet. Let's since we gave him such a nice
just
introduction.
Jump straight in.
Yeah, let's do it. We're gonna bring our first guest to the stage for this evening, Mr. Jared Jekyll.
Woo!
We're seeing you at 6, Jared.
Huh?
We're seeing you at 6, mate.
You're already seeing my show.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
After this one.
So yeah. Can we get a lift for you? I'm sorry, you did the jokes.
No. Talk, please. I get to do less. So you're already coming to my show?
At Victoria.
Yeah, I know what time it is.
I'll be there. I'm just making sure you will be.
Yeah, right. Okay. Wow.
I'm not gonna hold him up that much.
Let's just chat. Now, what's your name, so I know for tonight? Oh, please come in. We're just having a community discussion.
That's my name's Craig Jarrett.
Craig?
Yep.
You look like a Craig.
I do.
And what's, are you his daughter?
No.
Are you his wife?
Not
are
yet.
You his girlfriend?
Not yet.
Fiance?
No.
Spouse? De facto?
No.
Partner? I know all the synonyms for sex partners. Fuck buddies. I had a fuck buddy once. She fucked up my life. You can expect heaps of gold like this. This is so weird. Also, by the way, I should probably do my set.
No, you're ready, Jared.
When I'm ready.
Yeah.
Now, I like to, you know, sort of like warm up the audience or warm down the audience, depending on how comfortable. I'm still wearing my artist pass. I fell asleep with this on the other night. Like, I had a big night, and I woke up with it tangled around my neck, and I almost died. And it made me think of that Charles Bukowski quote, find what you love and let it kill you. So, Hugger's comedy. I've read a book once. I love literature. What's it called? Are you going to stop riffing now? Maybe I'm just getting started. How weird would it be if you guys were snakes? You could all fit on one seat. If I told a joke and you didn't like it, I could sit on the set. But I'd sit on the one next to it, pull back and reveal. That's really fucking awesome. I've blended whimsy and self-referential formulas right there. No, part of me is like, you know what, I don't want to do my gold, because you're going to see my gold, but I'm going to do my gold anyway. If you haven't quite worked out, I'm a pretty regular comedian. I'm sort of like a Will Anderson, a Dave Hughes. I don't really do anything interesting in my act. It's pretty straightforward. A lot of observational comedy. I'm going to be discussing, the difference between men and women, and a bit like a Rove McManus, actually. I'm going to be, the other day I was walking down the street and this happened. Dogs are like this, cats are like this. What's the deal with airplane food? That kind of stuff. Pretty regular. No gimmicks. And where's the yellow handkerchief? Maybe it's there. And it's a bit patronising, actually, clapping at Magic, because Magic's the worst. If you think I look familiar, I'm not. You've probably just seen a movie with Jonah Hill in your life. Or Seth Rogen. Do you guys think I look like them? I get that all the time. Sort of. So I'm from Sydney, and honestly, this is not a lie, anytime I go out at night, someone will tell me that. Every night. First night in Melbourne, this backpacker ran past me, and he stopped for one moment, and he just goes, "You look like Seth." And then he was gone. They're on first name basis. So, I was like, "Which Seth?" So I'm actually the exact same height as Seth Green, so I don't know if they were targeting 5'4" people. But, it's a bit heist. Is someone else? My show, I love how you plugged me as being so high energy. I save all my energy for my show, because it's actually very high energy. Maybe too high energy. At the moment, I'm on the nod. I had a bit of heroin when I woke up this morning. Because I want to be famous one day, so apparently that's what you've got to do. I don't actually. Does anyone need to do heroin? Did you just raise your arm?
You did.
You did? How good's heroin? How is that? Just casual chat about heroin. Who has ever smoked ice? Crack? This is I'm just gonna do a bit of riffing. Why not? I smoked crack once, against my will. This is true. A few years ago when I did the Melbourne Comedy Festival, I met this girl. She came to my show, we hit it off. Went back to her place. I'd never had a one-night stand. I was very nervous. She was a Kiwi girl. She lived with these two big Maori guys. And we went up to her room, and we were about to kiss, and then she passed out. And I'm a sensible fellow, so I left her. And I went downstairs, and her two big Kiwi guys were like, "Hey, bro, come here." And they were heaps defensive of her, because she was like their kid sister. And they're like, "Come sit down here." So I sat on the couch, and they said, "Want to smoke some crack?" And I was like, "Nah." But they said, "You better smoke this crack, or we're going to make you regret that you ever came here." So I smoked crack. That's it's not a funny story, but I legit smoked crack under duress. It was it's pretty weird. Are there any police here? Because you should try crack. If you have a confiscated hit, that is so good. How weird would it be if I did a song now? Would that be so intense, a really intense song?
No, go
for it.
Yeah.
You're gonna get to see this twice tonight, and let me tell you what, it's a real big hit. Can we just have the second song?
Yeah.
This is gonna be so weird. Yeah. Something heaps charming and stuff.
Come on,
you're gonna get to see this. Yeah.
This is gonna be so fucking weird.
A bunch of bright-eyed brownies or scouts got a mask in a cave, or a pack of pill popper pinheads pass out of the bush to brave. If you're there, batteries go flat when camping. It don't matter who's down in my crotch. I got a top-notch black op lantern. I hope it doesn't make you sick, you can call this my party trick.
You look so terrified.
Let me spell it out real quick. Then if you need help, grab your switch and give it a flick. Yo, yo, cause I got a touch for a dick. I got a touch for a dick. Hope it doesn't make you sick. And I got a touch for a dick. An actual touch for a dick. Touch for a dick. Yo, I got a touch for a dick. I got a touch for a dick. Let me spend it out real quick. That I've got a mother-freaking flashlight for a dick. Don't be scared or frightened.
Yo, is it tough fate you and I to be illuminated, mate? Let's get in line here. Your boyfriend's looking at me fuming. Yo, cause he knows that I'm packing the LEDs. 1,000 lumens. I walk up to your girl, I'm like, hello, Jen. She's like, shut up, man, give me them halogens. Then no, she wants his luminescence specimen. Cause then my pants is powered by a tiny Thomas Edison. I say no, but I'm me. She comes to my show. This thing, and it's coming on the tip at the top of my pink. Yo, I got a touch for a dick. I got a touch for a dick. Hope it doesn't make you sick. That I got a touch for a dick. A literal touch for a dick. Touch for a dick. Yo, I got a touch for a dick.
My, this is a flash mob. Wait a second, you guys know. It's actually pretty straightforward.
But it's not all about sex capades, because I like to help out in the community too. Research parties and shit. If there's a child stuck down a well, I'ma pull it out, go, oh my god, if you know, I'ma get that well hell. Let me light the way. Then once again, your innocent child will see the light of day. Had a touch for a dick, touch for a dick. I'm a really nice person with a touch for a dick. Got a touch for a dick, touch for a dick. I'm a really wholesome person with a touch for a dick. Got a touch for a dick, touch for a dick. I'm a good Samaritan with a touch for a dick. After I do a good deed, I reward myself. I use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Alright, use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Nice and tight, use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Nice and tight, use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Use a flashlight, I'm a flashlight. Nice and tight.
That's gonna be the end of my performance. Thank you so much for enjoying that.
Gentlemen, Jared Jekyll. I love that you started with a magic trick for a podcast.
Oh yeah, this is a podcast.
So for the listening audience, you made a yellow handkerchief appear.
No, okay, let me explain. So I had a yellow handkerchief and then I made it disappear. Like a real sick cunt. Sorry for swearing. Are you allowed to swear?
That's fine. You said
actually, that. You shouldn't say
we'll put the explicit warning.
Yeah, you shouldn't say the C word. I'm so sorry about that. So I made the yellow handkerchief disappear, listeners. And then I pulled out two purple ones. I tied them together. And then I made the yellow one reappear in the middle of them.
Solid.
See?
Magical.
Also for the podcast, he had a flashlight for a
dick. I don't know if you caught that. The subtext of the rap there was he did have a torch for a dick.
Yeah, there's quite a few layers there. It usually takes till the end of the song for people to really understand what's going on. How that song came to fruition.
This
is interesting.
Yeah.
So I use a loop station in my show. And I wanted to have if anyone here plays music, like a sconce, which you use to light up sheet music. So I wanted to have like a big sconce so I could see my loop station in the dark. So I bought this LED barbecue clamp light, and I was just holding it by my waist, practicing, and my girlfriend's like, that looks like a dick, and then I wrote the song.
you tore up
the
words,
right?
That was in the show.
Did you hate that so much?
A little bit.
A little bit. Did you find it offensive? No, you just thought it was stupid. Cool. as long as you weren't offended, I don't want to offend anyone.
No, that's why you.
You're actually my target audience, so I'm a little bit saddened by that.
Well, while we're here, because we're on the topic of your show, for the people who aren't already going, you want to tell the rest of the audience about your show and because you're on till the end.
I'm on till the end,
yeah.
Which is tomorrow night. That's the end. You have 24 hours to see my show. Shit.
That's the threat.
That's the threat. You have 24 hours. If you don't see my show by sundown tomorrow, you'll have to wait till next year. 365 days. Actually, less, because that'll be the... Then you only have...
Yeah,
two,
the festival will finish
again. Holy shit. So maybe come less than that.
Or 350 or so.
Yeah. 340 days. I'll see you in 340 days. My next show is going to win all the awards, so get in early. I'm not even kidding. I think my awards are even going to win awards. This show, I've been working on it for 10 years.
10 years.
Let's say. I'm probably just going to push it together the night before, but it really is going to be the best. There's not going to be any smut in it. This is not a lie. This is my last smut show. No, really. Smut's gone. I think smut's dead.
Smut's out.
Smut's out. My show, I do like beatboxing, loop peddling, rapping.
Yeah, you're a man of many skills.
I'm very talented, basically. no, really, that's the main thing that people say from my show. They're like, wasn't very funny, but God, that guy's talented. It's actually really funny, you'll love it.
So what's it called?
Young, Dumb and Full of Pun. There's some puns in it.
Yes. Yes.
Big Pun?
Big Pun is not in it. Big Pun, for those of you who don't know, is a famous rapper. I'd explained the title to my mum. She's like, what's Young, Dumb and Full of Pun? Where did you come up with that? And I was like, it's a play on Young, Dumb and Full of Fun. There you go.
And she was like, that's not a saying.
she doesn't know.
Okay.
She doesn't need to know.
Alright, and so you are at... Where are you at?
I'm at the Victoria Hotel.
Yeah.
It's on the same block as the Town Hall.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get to, and you should all be there. I voted it the best show at the festival. it sounds biased, and it is, but it's very good. And then I'm on at 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out on Sundays, every show's an hour early, so it's real. So you can probably come straight from lunch. Just pop over for a brunch. Come
from
see
early bird dinner.
Early bird dinner special. Yeah, and come and have a bit of fun.
Yeah, no, it is a great show. I saw him earlier this week. High energy, a lot of varying abilities displayed on stage. It's, you'll have a good time, especially if you enjoy wordplay. It's rife with wordplay.
Yeah, a fair bit of wordplay in there. Maybe you'd like the wordplay.
Yeah, there's something
less,
for
less
everyone.
Less dicks, more play. More wordplay. More. No hat, no play. No dick, more play. Wordplay.
Jackal, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
So Jared needs to just leave because he has a show basically right after this one. So normally we do a component at the end where we do a little competition where we can give away tickets at the end. But Jared has been very generous. He's offered up some free tickets to some people in the crowd, so we will organise that after the show. I'll grab some names, I'll grab some maybe email addresses, and we'll be able to organise. Probably tomorrow, possibly tonight, if someone's interested in shooting straight over there. I also have my show right after this, so if anyone wants to come check that out, then let me know. But admin is for later. Now we're going to have our second guest for the evening. And like I said, I saw him out in Perth. The show is called Self Sabotage. It's a great show, a great storytelling show. So please welcome to the stage, Mr. George DeMorales.
Cool. All right. Play the music. I got a mouth for an anus. I don't know. It's the best I could come up with, a mouth for an anus. That's I haven't had a coffee today yet. I've said you get it until a bit later in the day. That's what I'm about. Yes, as you guys have already heard, this is towards the end of the festival. You guys are coming out of the second last night. Yeah, which is why every show you got to go see, there's going to be a tinge of brokenness on stage. As you get to see. Potentially a mental breakdown. That's what we're here for. So that's great. My voice is a bit husky as well. That's right. It's not like this is getting exchanged through the medium of sound. Probably should plan that ahead beforehand. So I guess just do some jokes. Since we're up here, right? That's what you're here for, is he? I do change it up here for a change. That's mean. That is mean. I just want to say thanks so much for coming out. Like, I know it's just the second last time. Maybe you've come out and seen something, which is awesome. Like, that's actually fantastic. Good on you guys. Honestly. Give yourselves a round of applause since you're not going to be already. Because you're already. Yes. Yes. Go you. You know, you're number one in my book. Well, all of you. Yeah. If you were a dictator, you'd be Joseph Stalin. Okay. Maybe we'll try again. If you were a terrible career choice, you'd be stand-up comedian. Slightly mean and laugh sometimes. This is like, if you were a chop top, you'd be chock mint. He was like, ugh. What are you more of a boysenberry man or something?
Yes.
Really? I know your kind, sir. Yeah, I like my chop tops. Brown on the outside and pink on the inside. That's disgusting. God, it's 4 or 5 o'clock. Trying to work on my compliments. Not good at it. Both sides of the whole compliment thing, I'm not good at it. Giving out compliments, but also like receiving them. I suck at both, you know? When someone gives me a compliment, I only react 2 ways. I act like super bashful, or I make some dumb joke about it. Like, either way, the person speaking to me just regrets their decision. Which happens often. In fact, you could probably say, to be honest, that for me, a compliment is kind of like homosexual sex. I don't know how to give it, and I don't know how to take it. But I'm trying to learn, right? I'm trying to learn how to do it. And this big community that's really supportive, you know? It's great. It makes you feel really deep down inside. You do it, you know? It's like, and you do it anywhere. Seriously. Parks? Alleyways? Schools? It's great. I was in the change rooms the other day with my mate, and I was just giving him the biggest compliment. Whoa, fucking. Oh, hey! It's that bit of the show. It feels strange, I don't know, it's 5 o'clock, it's a really weird mood. It's alright, I am trying to work a colleague that I know, because I used to get in trouble with my ex, because she'd be looking for me to give a compliment, and it ended up sounding like I'm describing the weather. I'd be like, yeah, you look fine. Someone in the mid-20s. Reason she's the ex. So I feel like they need to step in. That's what I like to say. Yeah, this is what I talk about. Couples can get mad sometimes. A girl can be unhappy with a guy because he's not good at the compliment thing, from my experience. I know some people are really good at it as well, though. I know that as well. So you guys are a couple? No?
Exes.
Whoa, why is this compliment discussed earlier? What? Really? This is amazing. Well done. You did it. Has anyone ever seen this? This is the first time I've ever seen in my life. Amazing. It's like a Jerry Seinfeld Elaine thing going on. Far out. Who's Jerry and who's Elaine? I don't know. That's it. Really? Okay, so how long have you been broken up for?
4 years.
4 years? Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's... I've never had this interaction before in my life. What's it like? God, just hanging out as friends, looking at each other, like, oh, I've seen his penis. I assume that's what happens. I don't know. Yes, I don't know. Okay, that's an interesting one. For you, that's a good idea. Good idea. You're just actually friends. We're like, we're good friends, just not sexually attracted to each other. So that's... The room got mean. I got past there. Okay, I was trying to see where I would go with that. Didn't go in the right direction, did I? No, I didn't. That's how you turn a room against you. That's awesome. Very Melbourne of you? I don't know. Is that awesome? Yeah, we're all bisexual, we're having sex with everyone. Yeah, I don't know. That was not phrased correctly at all. Okay? We are not recording this, are we? Oh my god. No, let's just clarify. That sentence needed to be more well thought out than it came out. Sound dismissive and rude. I'm not like that at all. My god, that is. Wow. Okay. This has gone badly. I feel like it's a weird place to end it. This is something different, but I need to talk about this because it's something it's sort of relevant. This might not help out my case. But, as you've been male and brought up like that, you've got views in your head and you try and do better as you get older, try and correct the mistakes and stuff like that. And, you can make mistakes, slip out, you say the wrong thing, you're trying to do better. You genuinely try to hope people can appreciate that. And I had a situation recently where it was an interesting one. Do you guys know the phrase, what's good for the goose is good for the gander? You guys heard that phrase? Yeah? Okay, I'm just going to ask one person. I don't know. Just like, what do you think that phrase means?
Okay,
not help me much, okay? Yeah, but yeah, same. So you know the phrase, good for the goose, good for the gander? Do you know what it means?
Agreeing with him,
that's just... he's got no idea. So for me, right, I grew up hearing that phrase, and I thought good for the goose, good for the gander. That was like, what's good for one is good for all. which isn't what that means, because a gander isn't, like, I was like, a gander means a group of geese. That's not a gander. That's a gander is a male goose, right? Which I never realized growing up, but I was like, oh, I thought it was like, well, I know a gaggle of geese is a group of geese. I do know that, but Brandon didn't connect the two dots. It's getting strange. I didn't say this was funny, but anyways, I was in this conversation with this girl, and I was like, oh, I just found out recently what that actually means. You know, what's good for the male, like, for female goose, it's good for the gander. So it's like, what's, well, like, I guess it's like another version of, like, happy wife, happy life, that sort of thing. That's what I was saying to her, and she goes, well, no, it could also just mean, you know, based on obviously outdated gender terms, but it could just mean what's good for one is good for all. Right? And I was like, what a bloody goose, that kind of thinking, right? Jesus, oh no, one's a man and one's a woman, and that's how that works. One probably has a penis, don't know how it works. One's male and one's female, that's how that fucking metaphor, that's what was going on in my head. Seriously, can you believe that shit? I was like extending my male privilege to poultry. It's a big realization to have, you know. That's okay. Well, I think we managed to recover that. Thank you very much. Cheers. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Morales, ladies and gentlemen. Just once more time. Come on, just a little bit more. Now, tell us about your festival show.
I'm self-sabotage.
Solid example.
Maybe so.
It's a strong marketing campaign you've got.
Yeah, there. It's all part of the plan. That's wow. That's the reason for it is because that happens quite a lot. Sure. Self sabotage, loosely based on one main story which you've heard, an experience I had, and probably the most prime example you're going to hear of just horrific public self sabotage, just public embarrassment, just being idiots and not really knowing how to correct it. It's not even. There's no happy ending at the end. It's like it's just tragically funny. It's funny, but it's tragic. And it's good fun, and like as you saw it in Perth, I've been in Perth and Adelaide before coming here, and that's been a very good chance to really trim and cut and change and chop and do all that stuff. Perth was very nice. Perth is very friendly as a city, and then I went to Adelaide and I was in a beer garden outdoors during the day. It's a very different vibe. It's a very different vibe, so it's brutal, but by the end I had that figured out as well, so it was really nice learning. So I've had a very nice like, learning thing to get to here. Now Melbourne have done day, what's it, what are we on? I don't even know, 23 shows.
Yeah.
And I'm still here, so obviously I'm either insane or, well, I'm definitely insane, but those are the shows that I go, had some nice reviews as well, so that's a plus. Yeah.
Look it up.
Where are you at?
Oh, I'm in the Bull and Bear.
The Bull and Bear,
which is on Flinders Lane, do we know that place? It's at 6:30, so there's a little bit of what I just did in that, but a lot of that was probably tell. Yeah, I said the golf the show,
yeah.
I guess. No, yeah, it's good fun. So there's tonight, I don't know if you guys are going to see any other shows, but tonight 6:30 or tomorrow 6:30, and I don't have an hour earlier. So no. I'm usually at the same time.
It's usually independent venues though, tend not to.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a good show, it's a great storyteller show. So I saw the Perth iteration earlier, and based on what you said there, and I know the nature of show construction and just how self-reflective and how introverted you can get about your own work and when it comes through the end of a festival and sort of what that does to a person or that does to a performer. So I can only imagine it's gotten extremely tight since then.
Yeah.
So if it was a strong show in Perth, there's no reason why you shouldn't be going to see it. Tomorrow or today, if you've got time.
Nice.
If you're not going to see Jared Jekyll at 6. No, but it's fantastic. Were you drawn to the nature of storytelling just because you felt you had a strong story in you, or is the nature of storytelling something that you've been interested in?
I don't know. I wouldn't class myself exclusively storytelling. I guess it's just like, I think in a longer form show that, you should have some sort of structure that people can bounce off and stuff.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of the basis for it, more than like any specifically wanting to have like one long, because it's not one long story at all, it's like very much just jumping off into tangents, coming back and that sort of thing, but it just makes more fun for the brain. Humans' brains, humans' brains works. Yes, right.
They enjoy a fluid continuity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I said, that's how we do. In fact, I read a book recently. That's the end of that. That's Sapiens, very good book. It talks about how humans have evolved over time, and it looks at like what we're good at, and apparently like the reason we're so awesome is because of our stories. The reason we tell stories.
That doesn't surprise me, actually, because the nature of development in, say, like Paleolithic eras would be being able to explain to someone else
there is a bush of berries that we should eat over here, and there's a bad bush of berries. Like, Jim died because he ate the bad berries. Mm. Let's not go to that. And that's a simple story, but it would keep everyone alive.
It does, and then, but then even going deeper than that, this turned into a completely different showdown, basically.
They're
going deeper than that, talking about the fact that, like, stories, because everything's made up, everything's a construct that we make
course,
up.
Yeah.
So even things like a political system, or like a leader,
mm-hmm.
and being trusting someone who's in your group, you have to tell a story where you're like all in the same group, even though you're not. Like, it's a myth you make up.
It's the nature of like group psychology. You've got to feel like people are on sign.
Yeah, yeah.
In for you to want to be able to connect with them. And I guess that's also a big nature, part of the nature of storytelling, is if that your audience feels that they can relate to you. Even if they see you as a villain, they've got a place for you in a narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah? That
makes
sense.
This is going strange.
This is good. This is good. I like this.
It's okay. I'm going to whip my way out of here.
They get the biggest laugh in the show.
It always does.
And I take it.
Yeah, you take any ideas. No, man, to go back to storytelling, the show, it's just, put a story in there. And but I like to go off on theme containers and talk ideas and concepts. I can be quite conceptual. So I have to try and like always remember. No, this is make it fun. right now. But back to stories. And
I understand
stuff.
That. Yeah. I had an MC. I did a bit. I was experimenting with a bit once. That was about Joe Hockey had talked about like the first human being to live to 150 had possibly already been born.
Yeah.
So I was talking about that, trying to evolve it into a joke. And I came off stage at the MC, came back, and he was like, all right, thank Matt for his TED Talk. There we go. So and I understand that the nature of trying to turn a concept into a joke is quite complicated. And the road's a long one, so it can be hard to get there.
That's what's fun, is like the key is like to go personal. So try and find a story in your life that actually relates to it. Because usually, the funny thing is, most things are funny if you look at anything. You can make a good, someone good can talk about going by milk and it's the funniest thing you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything's always funny. So it's like you can always find something personal that happened that relates to what you're talking about. And that's also humorous. Right?
Yeah. I think the part of the fun part of. So I went and saw Stuart Goldsmith 2 nights ago.
Right.
And one of the. I don't know if he says this in every show, I assume he does, it seems like it's part of the narrative, is that he explains most jokes need a villain, like someone that we're going to all turn against. And that's sort of what unites the crowd, is that if there's a villain in the room, then we can be like, oh, even if I do that thing in this particular joke, that guy's the villain, and I can laugh at him.
All right.
And I thought it was a great simple breakdown of joke structure. And I think the casting yourself the way you've cast yourself in the story that you're telling is a good way to get people on board with you.
Yeah.
Let people will understand once they go see a show. But it's a good
villain.
I don't know that it's necessarily that black and white, but it's an interesting place to cast yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're not necessarily the hero, but you're not necessarily the villain either.
Yeah.
So it's fun to sort of see performers, versions of themselves and what they project to an audience, and just sort of see what they bring to a stage.
Mm.
But I think we're going to have to cut short there because I know you've got to bounce to your venue, and unfortunately we won't be able to do the final half of this, which is normally we'd pit Jared and George against each other to give away some tickets, because Jared had to bounce as well. Unfortunately, being the end of the festival, everyone is like, I need audience. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut early here. Thank you so much for coming out, guys. We'll have a chat about what happens next in terms of getting you the things that you need, and then hang around. I've got my show at 6 o'clock in the room just over in the other space. If you've got to go, you've got to go. But do check out the guys. They've done some fantastic work. The shows are very strong, and I highly recommend them. So please put your hands together for George Morales. And myself. This is the shortest one of these we've ever done, but it's okay. I feel alright about it. half of you got it for free. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, if you want to see other shows as well, I have to recommend it.
Make as many
recommendations
as you can. Yes. Yeah. So Kings Mask. Very good show.
That's all I can say. Just, you won the Barry last year.
Yeah, she won the Barry. She does it's just character comedy that is parodying us, essentially, is parodying male character comedians, male comedians, and it's an amazing show if you do want to check out.
I'm telling everyone.
Yeah, no, it's also on iView if you ever check out Comedy Next Gen. If you see any of those, there's like 20 of those, and they're all really strong comedians. I recommend them all because they're all amazing shows. We might grab some names or some email addresses. I'm happy to put anyone on around we'll grab some names because Jared's set up some free tickets for people who, sorry guys, you've already sorted yourself out. But Jared set up some things. I'm sure George would be happy to put you in touch. So,
there you go. And just say you saw this show and you go half price, it's $10.
There you go.
Yeah, that makes it.
Thanks, Mike.
So, George will set you up with some
discounts. There you go. Say you came to this again.
$10 is pretty good.
It's a good show,
especially for $10. Who is interested in Jared? Like, I'm not going to take anyone's details that don't actually want to know. Because I understand. That's all right. You're welcome to up and leave. You don't have to hang out here. You're not bound to this room in any way. I just say, if someone wants them, they're more than welcome. I'm happy to take down some details. If not, that's fine. I'll chill out here and I won't be in anybody's way. You're welcome to leave.